Hey there, I'm Verity Songon and this is the Confident CEO podcast, the show that takes you behind the scenes of starting and running your small or not so small business. We will cut through the misinformation and bad advice about starting and running a business and give you actionable tips and advice that you can implement to grow, scale and achieve your business goals. Let's dive in. Hello everybody and welcome back to another review episode of The Apprentice UK. I'm really, really excited to do this review. And first of all, I have to apologise. My voice has just been awful for the last week or so. So that's why you haven't seen me too active either on the podcast or on Instagram stories, what have you, because I keep having these crazy coughing fits. It's not COVID, it is just a cold, but it's just been absolutely horrendous. So because of that, I just haven't been incredibly and quite literally vocal. But starting to feel a lot better now. So I am doing this episode and yeah, I'm really excited to dive into it. I mean, right, okay, spoiler alert from the beginning. Avi's left. I keep calling him Avi. Avi's gone. And that just made me so, so sad because we all know how much I've enjoyed watching Avi. I swear to God, this bloke does need his own BBC business show somewhere along the line. I don't know why BBC Three, I feel, would be the right place for it, but I feel like he's going to be a bit like, do you remember, was it Sarah Khan? I'm trying to think, was it Sarah or Sarah Khan? From like the first series, I think it was, she ended up having quite a good TV career after coming out of The Apprentice. And I can kind of see Avi doing this similar thing. I mean, I would say Katie Hopkins as well, but by the way, that long pause was intended there because, you know, if I was saying this face to face, you would just see me rolling my eyes there because, yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about Katie Hopkins. But yes, Avi has left and I'm so, so sad about this. And if you actually tuned in to watch The Apprentice, You're Fired as well, he was just so Avi. Did you see the outfit he was wearing? He had like this amazing blazer and it was all sparkly and sequins. And I was like, you are just owning life. And I don't know, he's only 24 years old. I'm sure he said he was 24 years old, but you get my point. He's early 20s. And the confidence that that bloke has got, I think is fantastic. I think he's going to go far in life and I wish him well. But we need to backpedal and we need to break down this episode. So in this episode, the task that the teams were set was to create a men's skincare product, which I think sounds like quite good fun. I thought it was a little bit bizarre, to be quite honest with you, that Rochelle did not get picked as the PM for that task for her group, because she seemed, in my humble opinion, she seemed to have the most experience in that kind of area. Instead, they went for Brad, but that's fine. Brad said that he had a strong vision and a strong strategy. Yeah, sure, whatever. We'll get onto that in a minute. But either way, they went with Brad for their PM. And oh my gosh, where do we even start with that team? I mean, what they ended up creating, one of the potential buyers from like Superdrug or Boots or wherever it was, he said that it looked like something you'd get like children's bath bubble in. And you know what? That's exactly what I thought. When I saw the product, and you know, the one with the snake and it had like this green head, all I could think to myself was, it looks like something that you would buy children's bath bubbles in. It reminds me of, do you remember that Mr. Matey stuff? If you live in the UK, do you remember Mr. Matey? I think they still sell it, but I'm not too, too sure. It's like a pirate thing. And there was a mermaid one as well that you sold. But anyway, way better than what they were showing. But yeah, it was awful. I mean, it was the grey bottle. Actually, no, I'm going to take it back even further. It wasn't even like a bath bubble set that you would buy. It was like the prototype for a bath bubble set, because there was just, it was awful. It was just a grey bottle with this luminous green head on the top. It kind of, to a degree, either bubble bath or it reminded me. The other thought that came into my head was when I was in secondary school, and all of the boys, and this is no disrespect to Lynx as a brand at all, but when I was in secondary school, all the boys just like doused themselves in Lynx. And I remember there being one and it was like a bright green strip across the black. And it kind of reminded me of that as well. But either way, you know, oh God, it was awful. I don't know what, I think what Brad was going for, in my mind,
I think he was going for like a kind of Emporio Armani kind of perfume type thing, or Paco Rabanne, you know how they have like these really beautiful bottles. I think, or at least I hope that's where he was going, and just completely missed the mark because it was just awful. I mean, yeah, so that's the packaging. Well, that's the bottle, because the actual packaging, the box, just, I don't know what those guys were thinking. It was just something else. I mean, how anyone could think that it looked good. And then I loved Brad, how he turned around and he was like, well, it's better than I expected. It's like, how low was your bar set for creating that product? Just, I don't know. And then we need to talk about the fact that it turned Avi's screen green. I can't talk. Avi's skin green. It turned his skin green, people. Why would you try and sell something after that? I would just turn around. To be quite honest with you, I would have just turned around at the pitch and said, look, we've had some problems with the formulation. I can't give you a tester right now. I will come back to you. You know, we're going to have to work on this hypothetically. I couldn't do that. I couldn't give somebody a tester knowing full well that it was going to stain their skin. And the excuse that they came up with was crap. Just, oh God, I was going to say pitiful, but it wasn't. It was just shite. You know, excuse my language, but you know when they said, oh, it's, you would actually sell it in smaller containers and then you have to add water to it. And it was like basically just green water that they were expecting people to put on their faces. I didn't get it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't think of the last time that I bought an exfoliator or any beauty product actually that was bright green. I don't know. I mean, I've had bright pink face masks before. Soap and Glory do these beautiful, absolutely stunning bright pink face masks, but never ever like, but it's an aesthetically pleasing bright pink. It's the kind of thing that you can, and I have taken pictures for my Instagram. Like, it's not bright green. Oh, I don't know. Just, I don't know what they were thinking. It was ridiculous. And I don't really know what else to say on the matter. Now, if we talk about the other guys and the other team, with their, I'm still not sure if it was called Star or Start, to be quite honest with you. Start, and then the longest tagline for a product in existence, something about starting. I don't know, it was so bizarre. It was like this team seemed to think that once you hit 50, you're basically going into a retirement home. I could not understand what their logic was. It was, and I think Megan actually even said that at one point. She was like, we're going for the over 50s, we're not going for people who are like about to die. And it was this whole, oh, this pot could be an ornament. They could put paper clips in it. Who the hell walks into Boots or Superdrug or Sephora or wherever and thinks, oh, that's a really nice pot that moisturiser comes in. Do you know what? Once I finish my moisturiser, I can put paper clips in that pot. Or I can use that as a paperweight. Literally, I have never, ever, ever bought moisturiser and thought that afterwards. What I'm normally thinking with my moisturiser pots is every time I go into Boots is, ah, damn, I really should have bought them in because of that. They've got that recycling scheme thing, don't they? You put the, you know, your used moisturiser and cosmetic pots in like this bin type thing and then you can get Boots points. And obviously, I'm absolutely rubbish at that and I never remember to do it. But beyond that, I'm never there thinking to myself, oh yeah, what can I use this pot for afterwards? That was bizarre. And I have to say, I found it, I'm not even over 50, but I found that like vaguely insulting to anybody over the age of 50. I just thought it was stupid, to be quite honest with you. And it kind of got me thinking, I never understand when the candidates are able to just kind of go with any demographic, why they always pick demographics that aren't them. I find it bizarre. I mean, it's one thing when they're actually told, you know, make a lunchbox for children or make this for this group of people or whatever. But it's when they're told just make something and they can pick the demographic and they never pick themselves as the demographic. To me, and I'm happy for people to disagree with me, but to me, if I had a task which I only had like 2-3 days to complete and I was told, you know, go make this, I'd be like, right, how can I make this as relatable to me as possible? Right, well, I'm going to create something for people who are my age. So for them, I believe most of them are in their 20s. So, you know, men in their 20s or men in their 30s or 20s through to 40. You get my point. It's what can you, because you've got that information, you are either your target buyer or you're very, very close to that. So then surely you've got more information rather than being like, yeah, I think we should target this random group of people who we clearly know nothing about. I never understand why they do that. And then the name, the whole start, like I said, I still don't know if it's called Star or Start, but I kind of understand what they were going for with the whole, you know, playing on that idea that your life starts at 50 or your life starts at 40, you know, whatever it is. But I don't think they played on it. In fact, they didn't play on it very well at all. It was just a bit bizarre, wasn't it? And then, like I said, that long tagline, it just made no sense. It's like, you know, has nobody ever walked into Boots or Superdrug and seen that the taglines are really short and snappy and just tell you what it is, literally on the tin or on the pot? And I don't know, I just found it incredibly, incredibly bizarre. I'm not entirely sure what they were going for. So then when it rolled round to the boardroom, I mean, surprise, surprise, that the green venom, anti-venom, weird mixture that looked like it should only be seen in Goosebumps, if anyone remembers Goosebumps or Ghostbusters, you know, it, surprise, surprise, that mixture just didn't make any sales whatsoever. I think it was a bit of a shock that Bradley just got sent home. I mean, I expected him to go, but I also expected him to go through like the normal, quote unquote, normal firing process. I expected him to be called back in. But I quite liked it how Alan Sugar was like, no, you've had too many chances, just get out. Because I think it reminds people that, yes, this is an entertainment show. Yes, this is a TV show. But at the end of the day, regardless of it being there for our and my entertainment purposes, at the end of the day, this bloke is giving out £250,000 investment. And, you know, some of the people he is in business with quite a long time, they had Ricky Martin, not the Ricky Martin, you know, well, the singer. I was going to try and think of one of the songs then, I can't think of one. But remember Ricky Martin, he won The Apprentice back in, was it 2011, 2012, something like that. Anyway, it's now 2023, so like well over 10 years later. And he was saying on the You're Fired show, he is still working with Alan Sugar. So, you know, this isn't just £250,000 that he's giving over as a check and then running away. This is a business partnership. And I think being able to just say, no, you've had too many chances, just get out, it's kind of that sobering reminder that, like I said, yes, this is there for entertainment purposes, but at the end of the day, it is an actual business exchange at the same time. It is an actual business process. And, you know, it's a proper business investment and working together and collaboration and what have you. So I think Bradley just being fired like that, it was kind of that sobering moment of realization that, yes, this is an actual business opportunity, as it were. And yeah, so then see Avi go as well. I have to say, I did not expect a double firing in any of the episodes for this series. Like I did right at the very beginning, but then after Reese left unexpectedly, and then, oh, I can't think of her name. What's the other girl called? She had like a multi-million pound business already or whatever it was. But anyway, two of the candidates basically have already left through not being fired. So because of that, I didn't think that there was going to be any double firings, purely because I thought, well, how are they going to keep going with the number of episodes that they need to make up the entire series? So yeah, I was actually quite surprised when they did have a double firing, because like I said, I just didn't think they were going to do that. Obviously, I don't know how the background of everything works, but I just assumed that, you know, they're commissioned for X amount of episodes. So now the episodes where they weren't going to do double firings, or maybe they are, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too much about this, but the point was, I didn't think there was going to be any double firings after two people left without being fired, and there now has been a double firing. So yeah, Bradley and Avi have gone. Did I think it was the right decision for Bradley? 100%. Yes, I think he's really lovely, and I do think he could have gone far in the competition. I think he's got the right ideas, and I think some of his business acumen is brilliant. But I also completely agree with what Lord Sugar was saying, is that he keeps going into pitches and being like, yes, this is what we created, but actually I'll change literally 100% of it. Would you like to buy the completely different version to what I'm trying to sell you? So I completely got that. And I think, yeah, based on that, it was time for him to go. Avi, do I think he should have gone? Unfortunately, yes, because I just think he's brilliant. I really want to see more of Avi, I have to say. I really hope that in the not too distant future, he either ends up with a business podcast or a business TV series or just something, because I think the bloke has got so much energy and I think that he is just quite a breath of fresh air. And I think he's actually got a lot more depth to him than we possibly saw on the TV show. So I'm excited to see what happens with him and where he goes and whether or not he appears either on the screens or in the media in the future. But unfortunately, based on the fact that he did essentially make a product that stained your skin, and he knew that it stained your skin and still went along with it, I'm like, yeah, no, just no. And actually, on that point, I will just kind of jump in about Rochelle there, because I thought it was a challenging situation that she ended up being placed in, because she went along with what the PM said, which was make this product green and make it da da da, whatever the spec were, and she went along with that, and she ended up being almost told off for that in the boardroom by Alan Sugar, because he was like, well, just because you're told to do something doesn't mean that you have to do it, and then use the excuse, well, I was told to do this, which I do completely agree with him. However, I think it's also that fine line, because when we also have seen examples of where candidates haven't agreed with their PM, done their own thing, they have also been in the firing line, because it's like, well, you can't take direction, you're a disruptor and all that kind of thing. And I think it's that reminder of it is a fine line and a fine balance between being disruptive and going with your own ideas, and equally being able to recognise something that is just a really, really bad idea and having to take hold of the situation and steer it in a different direction. I think that can be a very fine line sometimes. But I do think that making a product that stains someone's skin green is heavily sitting on the side of the line where you just need to take control and steer the task in a different direction. I mean, can you imagine? Like, literally, can we just pause for a second? And just imagine if you had unknowingly put that on your face and then you had like a green face or a green splodge. I mean, can you just imagine if one of the reps from Boots Superdrug and the other places that they had there, John Lewis, etc., if they hadn't put it on their hand and if they had been like, I just want to feel what it feels like on my skin, on my face, as opposed to my hand, and they actually put it on their face, they would have ended up with like this green bit of skin. And I really want to know, how long did it take to come out of their hands? Like, oh my gosh, I could talk about this forever. But I think that this episode and creating this green concoction is probably going to go into Apprentice history, along with the logo last year where it just looked like a turd. Do you remember that? The yoga one, it just looked like, oh god, it was awful. Anyway, that is my review of The Apprentice for episode 9 of series 17 in The Apprentice UK, talking all about the male skincare product. It was, let's just say that it was a disaster. Funny, but a disaster. And on that note, I am looking forward to next week's episode, and I will have yet another review and opinion on that. Thank you for everybody, as ever, who is tuning in to listen to these episodes. I know I've said it before, but I am really, really blown away by the support for these episodes for The Apprentice reviews. It was something that was just started as like a silly little side project, but actually these episodes are ridiculously popular, and they are the episodes that people are contacting me for, saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? And also, can you do a Dragon's Den one? I know I mentioned that on the last episode of The Apprentice reviews, but I'm still toying with the idea about the Dragon's Den one, just like, you know, in conjunction with workload and what have you. But as ever, thank you so much for listening into this episode. I appreciate your time. I appreciate being able to spend this time and have this conversation with you. So until next time, take care. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Confident CEO podcast. Before you go, I would absolutely be overjoyed if you could take just 2 minutes to leave me a review in Apple Podcasts. Reviews are a great way to tell Apple Podcasts how much you enjoyed the show, and it helps the algorithm to push out the podcast to more people, thereby helping us to help empower even more badass businesswomen to grow their inner CEO and grow to be the confident CEO of their business that they can be. I love to shout you out in your reviews as well. So you never know, you might be hearing your name on the podcast in the next episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.